Started a series called We the Church, and so it's an illustration of who the church can be and how we can directly reflect Jesus. And so with that being said, welcome to Hope Community Church. Welcome to Hope Community Church. Whenever the Bible says when someone grieves, we grieve together. And whenever when someone is joyful, we do that together as a community of believers. And so we're going to believe and support them and encourage them. And so if you want to do that, please feel free. I know, talk to Miss Azure if you'd like to make a meal for their family. We were making meals all this week for their family and for her sons. So please feel free to do that as well. Can we just pray and then we'll get started. I have a little video clip I want to show and then we'll get started into the message. Lord Jesus, God, we are so thankful for We, the local church. God, that you have decided that on this rock, Jesus, that we will build the church of Jesus Christ. And God, thank you for this local body of believers that can come together and worship and be a great light right here, God, in Houma. God, that you have called us and uniquely designed us and placed us with a purpose. So today, God, as we read the word and as we think about what does that look like, I pray that you would encourage our hearts, that we would be reminded to gather together faithfully, God, to do the work and the assignment that you have for us as this particular body of believers. God, we know that there is a great darkness that surrounds us, but God, you are a greater light, and the church is meant to reflect that, so help us to do that. In Jesus' name, and everyone said amen. We, the local church, be a participant and not a spectator. Next week, we're going to sort of dive into that part of the message, but today we just want to talk about the local church. Somebody say the local church. Now, that is different than what Pastor Ted talked about last week. Last week, we talked about the global church and how Jesus founded that on Peter. And he said, upon this rock, Peter, you are the rock, the Petros, that we will have a church, a community of believers that are throughout the world. And I love our community believers that are throughout the world. I love missions. I love thinking that right now there are churches all across the world that are meeting together on Sunday. We have a sister church in El Salvador, and I love them, and they're streaming right now, and they have it's just beautiful, right? Like, you walk into these churches. But to this morning, we want to talk about this local church, or the local church in general. And I believe that God, just like he has a plan for the global church, he has a plan for the local church. The answer is not the government. Can I get an amen? It's not going to be who you elect in November that's going to be the answer for our nation. The answer will not be a school system. A lot of people are, like, you see a lot of gatherings now happening inside of a school system. It won't be the local library. A lot of libraries have sort of taken the place and have these community events. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build the church. And the church will not fail. And the gates of hell will not prevail. So there is something about the church that we offer, the local gathering of believers, and his name is Jesus, because that's not being offered at the club, that is not being offered at the school, that is not being offered in the government. And so we as believers have a commitment that we are going to be a part of the local church. So let me give you some examples of ways that the Lord has given us to be in community with each other. And I want to share these examples so that I can better explain to you the belonging that we have in the local church. Number one, God places us in families. Somebody say families. It's interesting. Scripture says in Psalm 68 and verse 6, it says, God places the lonely in families. Now, God has done this so wonderfully in my particular family. He has placed people, and he just dropped four kids into my life. And here we are. We're a family. I love this scripture. I stand on this scripture. But I believe that God has placed all of us into a family, whether you like your family or not. Don't look at them right now if you don't. And so just look straight ahead. You have that way nobody everybody's looking at you like you're crazy. But you know that God will place us in a family. And it's almost as if God sets you in a family and he places you there. And there's some purposes on why God will place you inside of a family. A couple of reasons. Let me give you one of the reasons. The family unit reflects him. Somebody say reflects. Now I have this beautiful sign, and it's the word reflect, because I believe all of these institutions that God created reflect him. Think about it. If you've had a father, the father is put in a position where he provides, similar to who is our provision. The mother comes and nurtures and provides and takes care of the family, similar to the way that the Father God nurtures us and takes care of us. The family that comes from the mother and father is the spiritual family. It is a reflection of who God is. The family unit reflects him. But we can also say that the family unit refines us. Somebody say refine. So God places me in a family. He sets me in a family to reflect him, but he also sets me in a family to refine me. And I know that there are some people in the room that you say, yes, my family refines me. Can I get an amen? There's nothing like family. There's nothing like family, but there is also nothing like family. And it's, you know, we love our family. Don't let anybody talk bad about our family. But sometimes our family can irritate our last nerve. You know, it can get to us. It can grind us. And in all of his glory, God says that the family is messy. There's a messy part. You've ever had Christmas dinner at your family? It gets messy. I don't know about yours. Yours is probably beautiful, Hallmark looking, but ours is not. And it gets a little messy, and there's some tension there and some undercurrents, and there's some things that happen within our family. And the thing is that God has placed us inside of a family to reflect him, but it also refines us. Somebody say it refines us. It makes us more like Jesus, because it does not allow me to stay the way that I was. I'll never forget when I married Ted and I got placed into a family. I don't even know if that was that lonely, but now I have brothers-in-laws and sisters-in-laws, and we've put into a family unit by God's design, and it has refined me. It has made me different. It has made me shut my mouth whenever I want to say something, because I tend to say things that are no good. And so here I am, and I'm placed in a family, and I've placed with a mother and a father, and it refines us to be more like Jesus. So God places us inside of families to reflect him, but he also places us in families to refine us. Now, another example of a unit that God places us in is a marriage. Anybody married in the house? If you're not married, stay single, like love Jesus. The Bible says that. So you're good. You're good. There's no shame. In fact, the Bible says just love Jesus. But when God places us in a marriage, it's another unit that God uses for his glory. Check this out. In Ephesians 5, verse 30 through 33, it says, because we are members of his body, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become what? We hear this at every wedding, one flesh. Paul says this mystery is profound. And I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. So again, we're in this unit of marriage. And if we think marriage is all about us, or about a feeling that we can have, those feelings come and those feelings go. Those feelings are high and those feelings are very low at times. And sometimes within a marriage, we will think, well, the marriage is about me, or how I feel, or about what's going on in my life. I don't know if you've ever thought this way. We can get stuck in this, right? Marriage gets hard. At times it can get miserable. What did I ever see in him? Or what did I ever see in her? I don't know if you've ever thought this way. Probably just me. And so why didn't he think like me? Because he doesn't think like me. Why can't he talk like me? Because he can't. Amen. I miss him. Why can't he talk like me? Why can't he care for me? Why doesn't he understand me? Blah, 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 blah. And it becomes all about me. So the marriage is now not about me, it's all about me, and it's nothing about what it meant to do. A couple years ago, I was in my marriage, and we found out, many years ago, right when we were getting a little bit starting the church, and we were roughing it out. You ever had one of those spells in your marriage? And I remember the Lord just speaking to me, and he said, Tara, your marriage is not about as much you intend as it is to refine me. Refine me. Everybody say refine me. A marriage is to refine me. Why did God place me in marriage? To reflect Jesus and refine me. So again, God will place you in a marriage to refine you, to make you more like Jesus. So he places you, he sets you in a marriage, and the ultimate goal, and y'all, I can say this after how many years have we been married? 13 years. I'm so glad he remembers. After 13 years that I have been refined to look more like Jesus. I have been refined. He is a better part of me. What Ted adds to me is stability and honor and respect and faithfulness. He's so faithful. He's so faithful. And so what happens is when I place myself into that unit, I have seen that it has refined me to be more like Jesus. So a marriage is to refine you, but it is also to reflect, somebody say reflect. Reflect Jesus. Go back to Ephesians. I want you to look at the back end of that scripture, Ephesians 5 and verse 30 through 33. It says, this mystery is profound. I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let him see, each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Again, inside of marriage, the covering that the husband offers and the support that the wife offers is a reflection of who Christ is to the church. That Christ is the head of the church. He says it. He said, Paul's like, it's a profound mystery. So God places you in family to reflect him and to refine you. God will place you in a marriage to reflect him and to refine you. And it's a display of the glory of God. So whenever people look at my marriage, my hope is that they will see Jesus. They will see that they see a complimenting couple that honors and submits and says, Lord, I have this honor for you because of my marriage. And when people see a good, healthy marriage, it reflects Jesus. So it's true with the local church. Now get this. Our marriages refine us, reflect Jesus. Our families refine us and reflect Jesus. Now, God will place us in the local church for those two same reasons. Now, most of the time when you see the New Testament word of the local church, we have a slide for it. The church refers to the gathered community of God's people who are covenanted together to worship the triune God, love one another, and witness to the world. So when you're thinking about this idea of the local church, and there are several in this community that are great churches that love Jesus, that honor him, but they gather together in the church, in the community, they are covenanted together, and you see this through worship. Somebody say worship. And then you love one another and you witness to the world. So the local church is the way that the global church grew. In the book of Acts, we see the birth of the local church. We see that there were churches that Paul established. There were churches that the disciples established. They began to go into the local places, the local communities, and establish a church there. The church is a group of identifiable believers committed to Christ and each other, working together to glorify God and his mission. Here's some things that happen in the local church. It is the primary center of fellowship and worship. What do you do when you come to church? You talk to people. You should. You should talk to people. Get in community. And what do in the first 30 minutes of every church service? We do what? We worship. So there's this gathering together that says we are going to be a part of fellowship. We're going to be a part of worship. The local church is the chief means that God uses for evangelism. Think about, how do you invite, come to my church? How do you tell someone about Jesus? A lot of times infused in that will be, hey, we're throwing this event. Would you come to this? Come in here, Andrew Eastman in April, or come in here at the Women's Inspire Night. What are you doing? You're inviting them through evangelism to the local church. You're connecting them to a body of believers inside of the local church. There should be disciple making, where you are coming not just to invite some of your friends, but also you are coming underneath the small groups and saying, okay, not only do I want to hear on Sunday mornings, I want to become a disciple. And there's that happens within the local church, the community of believers, where you start to learn how to read the word, how to pray, how to talk to God, how to give, how to do ministry. All of these ministries in the local church is where the word is taught and the Bible is preached. Like, they should have an understanding of the word of God. The local church is where ordinances or practices like baptism and communion, those all happen within the local church. That's why Paul plants the local church. Somebody say church. He appoints leaders for them. He sends delegates to them. He writes letters to them. And the local churches are significant for the mission that Jesus has for the coming of ages. He plants local church. There is a sharing of life together. There is a growing in maturity together. There is a ministering together. There is a worshiping together. And there is a witnessing together. The writer of Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25 says it like this: not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more. Somebody say all the more. So not neglecting to meet together in the local church, as is the habit of some. He says, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So he is saying, every time the door is open, you should be in the local church. I grew up with this. I grew up with a family who was inside of the local church, who planted themselves and said, okay, I'm going to stick with this church, with this body of believers. And I'll never forget, my mom and dad gave their life to the Lord, and we were Presbyterian. I don't even quite know what Presbyterian is, but we were Presbyterian. We were Jesus loving, and we showed up at the church, and we gathered, and we grew, and we worshiped, and we listened to the word, and we were discipled in the local church. God has called us. He has assigned you to the local church. He has a mission for you inside of this particular body of believers. Inside of this church, he has an assignment for you. If you plant yourself this morning inside of it, he says, I have a job for you, an assignment for you. Your gifting is valuable. Your purpose is essential. Why? To lifting up the body of believers. So here's what God does. He will plant you inside of a local body of believers. And I believe, pray about that. Seek God's face about that. Ask God, where is that for me? And here's the same thing that he will do inside of a church. He will refine you. Somebody say refine. Inside of a local church, he will sit you and place you for a moment. You can sit in your chair right now. But really, the goal is God wants you to have an assignment within the local church. He wants to refine you inside of a local church. Now, a lot of people will look for the perfect church. I want to tell you, that's not us. We are not the perfect church. So just in case you were thinking we are the perfect church, we are not. We are looking for the perfect church, but the church is meant to perfect us. See, you are not perfect, and I am not perfect, and we are not perfect collectively, and there will be hurt feelings, and there will be things that happen, and there will be ebbs and flows of ministry, and things that just, for whatever seen reason, they cannot be a perfect church, because not one of us in the room are Jesus. We can agree to that, right? So I'm not, pastor's not, none of us in the room are Jesus. We worship someone who is perfect, and that perfect Jesus is trying to perfect us. Amen. Through the local church. Now, that will happen in a family, that will happen in a marriage, But perfecting us also is happening in the local church. Here's what happens. You show up for church. You start getting in a conversation with someone. And maybe you're going through something really challenging. And that person will come alongside of you if this is done correctly and encourages you. What, can I pray for you? Can I support you? Can I cook a meal for you? That happens inside of the local church. There will be a studying of the word that happens inside of the local church. Let's read the word of God together. Let's have an understanding. Let's open up the scriptures together. And that happens, and a perfecting happens. Why? Because we're not perfect. So just as in the case of our marriages or in the case of our families, those are meant to refine us, the local church will also refine you. And it might hurt a little bit. It might be a little messy. You might have a little bit of like a hurt feeling. You ever had a hurt feeling before? Don't raise your hand because it makes me sad, but it's okay. So you get hurt feelings or something happens and there's a side of whatever it is. Sometimes it's just the enemy and we have these moments. And what we need to do is sit underneath them. Now, if there is sin in the camp, like I'm talking about ugly, messy sin, then I all the time in my local churches with my family, we would remove ourselves if there was unconfessed sin in the leadership. But sometimes we just need to sit underneath it, and not sin people, but other people, and say, okay, I'm going to let this refine me. I'm going to let this help me. There's some parts of me that probably aren't just like Jesus. And the local church gets to help refine me and make me more like Jesus. Now, Paul understood this. So he writes letters to churches. Get this. He writes a letter to the church at Ephesus. He calls the book Ephesians. So whenever you read a book of the Bible in the New Testament, a lot of them were written to the local church. So at Ephesus, he writes a letter to them. He calls it Ephesians. It has six chapters. And he writes to them concerns. He writes to them encouragement. In fact, in Ephesians 6, verse 24, he says, grace be all that love our Lord Jesus Christ with an incorruptible love. He writes to the churches at Corinth. In fact, they had some issues going on in their church that were not godly. So he writes them two letters, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. And he starts writing to the churches in order to what? Refine them. So that they could be more like Jesus. And so he writes letters to Philippi, and he writes the book of Philippians. He writes a letter to the book of Galatia. He writes a letter called Galatians. And when you read those books of the Bible, what you're reading is a letter to the local church that was established in that particular area, some to encourage and some to refine, some to make us more like Jesus. And then if you remember John the Baptist, the Revelator, the Revelator, in the book of Revelation, he writes a couple of things to the church. He writes it to the local church. He begins to write to these churches, and he says to the church of Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamum and Thyatira and Sardis and Philadelphia and Laodicea, he writes to seven churches. And he writes good things. He says, you're doing good. I see you haven't given up. You keep on going. You're faithful. But then at the end, he writes a couple of hard things. And he says, but you're like lukewarm water. And I want to say, God is going to spit you out the mouth. And he writes these things that are hard. And we're like, he writes good things. He writes hard things. But the hard things are meant to refine us. To make us more like Jesus. It wasn't because John didn't care about the local church. Paul cared deeply about the local church. And so he was wanting to establish them and say, hey, I see you. I see what you've done. And then he says, but I have this against you. That's what John will write to seven churches. Why? All so that they can be refined. Somebody say refined. So when you come to church, to the local body, you can tell that we are being refined into his image. Now, I can tell you of some junk in the local church. They have, if you go on any feed, if you know of anything that's happening in big churches in the area in the United States of America right now, I think Paul would write us about 25 letters because we have some issues. We have some problems. Paul's like, y'all need like first American, second American, third American. Y'all have done church wrong. Like, this is really wrong. I can't even imagine what Paul would tell us to the local body of believers. And I am not blinded by that. I am not blinded by the fact that sometimes in the middle of the church, it becomes more like an institution. It becomes more like a government. It becomes more like a hierarchy of popularity or whatever, and sin is covered. I am not blind to that. By any means, I know. I'm probably the person, I sort of find myself on Twitter a lot, just looking up these things, and I know what's happening, and these things are an abomination before the Lord. They don't reflect the glory of God. When a church has sin, and they're hiding things, and they're hiding different atrocities, or they're hiding abuse, and you know what I'm talking about, and it's not just one particular denomination that's hiding sexual abuse and things that have happened within the church, God sees, first of all, and he's not pleased, second of all. He's not okay with the fact that a church leader will take on an authority and do terrible things to people underneath that because of, I'm the church leader. That's not who God is. That's not why he designed us. Just like in a family, God didn't place us in families, and yours might not be perfect, but God didn't place us so that the Father could have ultimate authority, rule and reign. God placed us to be covered and protected. In a marriage, the same thing. And so in the local body, God sees what is happening in the church. He knows what is happening, but still, even though we know things, even though you might have been of hurt in a local body of believers, you might have been some things that were wrong. I'll never forget, we were in a church, not my first church, but one of the churches my family attended, and the pastor had an affair. That rocked my world. I couldn't believe it. We sat there underneath him and his leadership. The church was growing. It was flourishing. And all of a sudden, we found out that this had been happening, not only in the church, but in leadership in our church. And I was in high school at the time. And I was very influenced. And I remember being rocked to my core. But I didn't give up on the local church. I've heard a saying of, just because you have counterfeit money doesn't mean you quit using money, right? I mean, we still use money. We've probably even used counterfeit money. And I think the same is true with the church. There will be some things. I have to be honest with that. There's some things, and I pray that this is not the reflection of our church, of Hope Community Church. I pray that we can be honest and forthcoming. But I know that there are things that have happened inside a local body of believers that has not been honoring and has not been good and has not been full of holiness. Rather, it's been full of sin. When you're in those places, I would suggest to say, God, either change the situation or find yourself and another local body of believers. That's what we did as my family. We found ourselves in a local body of believers. And so we show up to another church. Why? Because God has commanded on this church, on this local church, I am building my house. I am building the believers inside of the local church. And so we went back there, and we established ourselves there, and we offered our giftings there, and God refined us. Somebody say, refined us there. God is, y'all, at church camp, that's where I gave my life to Jesus, at a church camp. Church is where I learned commitment and faithfulness to the things of God. Church is where imperfect people mentored me and discipled me about a perfect Savior. There was imperfect people, but that happened inside of a church. Church is where I have seen true salvation, and I have seen transformation in people's lives. I have seen people that walked a certain way and did a certain thing and handed their life over to Jesus inside of a church, and years later, they're walking faithfully with Christ. Church is where I learned to apply the Word of God to my life. Church is where I have seen the miracles of God. I have seen cancer disappear as a church body fasted over one of our young ladies, and she had a growth of cancer. And I'll never forget at 8, 9 years old, and that cancer disappeared. When the body of believers fasted for her, I saw that inside of a church. Church is where I have seen people bravely face death with the last breath on their lungs with no fear but amazing hope. Church is where I have heard prophetic words that have come true, that have changed the direction of my life, but have changed the direction of people in the body of believers that I was in. Church is where I am encouraged to keep on going on. The local church is where I have surrendered my life to Christ. The local church is where I got a call to ministry at 17 years old that happened inside of the church. I know it's messy. I know it can hurt a little bit, but guys, God has called us to be inside of the local church. The local church is who Jesus loves. He loves the local church. And when we get this right, when we get churching right, and it refines us, and we said, okay, I'm committed. I'm going to sit in. I'm going to allow the Lord to place me in the local church. I'm going to allow Him to use my giftings, my talents. I'm going to allow Him to speak to me through the local church. When He refines us, ultimately, here's what happens. The local church reflects Jesus. See, that's your mission. That's our mission. But we do that better together. See, our job is that the church will refine us, but it is also our job that the church will reflect us. Do you know that there are clubs here in Houma? Clubs, you know what I'm talking about, bars? I don't know if you know about that, but I Google searched this. In the 5-minute radius of Hope Community Church, we have LaRusse's Lounge, Frog's Bar, Bottoms Up, Up on the Canal, After Five, Intercoastal Club, Spigots, I guess it's a club, Overtime, Big Daddy, Pub and Grub. That was just ones that I'd bother to write down in this 5-minute area. Think of the schools in this area. Honduras Elementary, Acadian Elementary, Oaklawn, Southdown, Legion Park, Village East, Grand Cayon Middle, Ellender, Houma Junior High School, and Terrebonne within a 5-mile radius. And I didn't even count any of the private schools and all those things. There were still more. Think of the restaurants just selling chicken right here on Grand Cayon. This is fun. Just on Grand Cayon, Cane's. I did that one because we have a manager that goes here. The Christian Chicken, Chick-fil-A. Churches, Popeyes, Danny's, the Walmart. Not counting all the other ones like, you know, the McDonald's and the things and the Burger Kings and all that that sell chicken. Just think about it. I mean, do we need another chicken restaurant on Grand Cayou? I would just vehemently say no. And then I think of the local church. I think God has placed us here intentionally. Do you know that we were one of the only local churches, and not anything of us, but just during the storm, that we had no damage really to speak of. We had tornadoes that flew through all this area and are still completely damaged. And I think of this, and we have a picture to display this. When I think of the local body of believers, if you've ever seen one of these sort of sources of light that happen, you know, you've seen one of these maps. See, I think what happens is that the local body of believers is what reflects Jesus. Whenever you look at this map and you see lights, and clearly this is a light reflection of New York City or of Texas that has some big lights, and of course you see the little boot of Louisiana, you see where people are, correct? And you see the light that comes up. It's sort of like a display from space. But here's what I think. I think that God has called the local church into certain areas, into certain places, in those dark places, that God says the local church will refine you. Yes, but also the local church will reflect me. And whenever we do this correctly, and I can't see this in the supernatural right now, but here's what I think is happening in the supernatural. I believe that there is a great light that is shining up from this church. I believe that there are angels that are guarding and protecting this church. I believe that there is a Holy Spirit presence inside of this church, this local body of believers, where there's only been darkness, where there's only been addiction, where there's only been drugs, where there's only been prostitution, and all those things that have happened, particularly on this side of town, that God has said, I am going to establish a local church, a diverse body of believers that love Jesus, that are gathered together to hear this word. And here's what happens. The light of Christ shines forth. Guys, that's us. That's the local church. That is Hope Community Church, as messy as it can be, as maybe as offensive as maybe you've gotten offended or those kind of things. And for that, we apologize, because we never meant any offense. I'm just saying that just in general. But if you've been offended, we love you, and God has a plan for you. We stand on that. But we believe at the end of the day that the church refines us, but ultimately it is meant to reflect the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That in this place, in this house, in this area, that we, and that's all of us, we, the local church, get to shine Jesus. Will you bow your head, please, and close your eyes? When you leave this room this morning, I pray that only that you were encouraged. Next week, we'll have you involved. So come back next week. Pastor and I are preaching together on how you can be involved in this local body. But you know, I just thought that as I was reading and studying about the local church, I thought so many discouraging words happen. So many things happen in this body and in the church of America. And I just want you to be encouraged this morning. First of all, that God sees you gathering together in worship, that he sees you. And not only does he see you, he sees us collectively together in the local body of believers. And here's what he is. He says, there's a great light that comes from this place. There's a great shining of the truth of Jesus Christ. Do you know that every day at this church, there are people that walk in and out of the doors? This is a constant revolving door. We don't stop just because Sunday mornings are over, but on Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays, it's constant with people hearing the good news of Jesus Christ, whether they come in to our thrift store, they get some free food, or maybe they come to our after school programming. And I believe that that is essential. Why? Because light should always be shining from here in small groups, on Hope Abounds, on prayer meetings. You see a great light that is coming from this local body of believers that God has assigned us to. The privilege that we have of coming together and saying, God, help me to be a part of a local church. With every head bowed and eyes closed, let's just pray together. God, we see and we hear. God, we are so aware that you are in this place, Jesus. God, we are thankful that you have established the local church to refine us, but also to reflect you. God, when we leave this place, God, of community and of fellowship, help us to return. God, not to be a person that comes every now and then, but God, that we would say, I'm committed. I'm going to give my giftings, my talents, my time, my resources, God, to promoting and helping the growth of this local church. God, for everyone in this room that is thinking about being a member or coming in alongside of us, God, I pray that if it's your plans and purposes, you will speak to them a clear word of acceptance and being a part right here, God, at Hope Community Church. And God, I pray that when we leave this building, that we will be a light for you and for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We love you guys. Hug on somebody. Tell them that you're glad that you're here. Be a part of the local church. We'll see you this Wednesday at 6:30 in Jesus' name. And then also come back next Sunday as we decide how you can be a part of this thing called the local church.